One more, just really quick announcement about the surveys. Even if you think things are going great here, please fill in a survey. We'd love to hear that too. So it is generally sometimes with surveys, it gives a chance for you if you see things that need tweaking or improvement. And if you think things are going great, we appreciate that feedback too. So don't feel like, oh, I think everything's fine here, I don't need to fill one of those out. No, we would like to hear your voice too. So we're going to do one of the joys of being a pastor, particularly the pastor at Island Bible Chapel, is this. I get to see a lot of the things that some people maybe don't get to see all the time, and that's some of the things in the background where people are doing things for other people, showing love for other people, caring for other people, helping each other out. And I know that, not because sometimes I see it firsthand, but oftentimes I hear it because I hear it from you. You are often the ones who are telling me just what a loving place this is, and really appreciate that. And so it's one of the joys that I get to see when I see people caring for other people, and I see it regularly here. I hear the feedback from you regularly. What I want you to know is that it's not just in-house care stuff that we do. One of the things that IBC has always done is tried to reach out outside of our little group here that meets. And so this past weekend, just to show you some of the things that we have been up to, this past weekend, the youth group went to Camp ABK for the work weekend. And so here's some pictures of some of the stuff that we were involved in. So might I just say, first of all, to parents who gave us your kids on a long weekend so they could work at ABK and maybe they have a little work to catch up on now at your place, thank you. Some good work done. We've got a demolitions crew there and lots of stuff to be dug and that sort of thing. We had lots of fun there. And so thank you for your prayers. It's kind of neat to see. There were probably, I don't know, how many would you say, Maddie? About 8 tables, about 80 people probably yesterday there helping us out. So and the youth group went down. So Sarah and Jen and I helping out too. So yeah. The other thing I wanted to update the congregation on. As many of you know, in March, we went on a youth mission trip down to Honduras. One of the projects was to get a house ready for a family to move in. Jorge sent me a picture of the family, and so just so you can get, maybe put a face to it, the mother had to work the Sunday that Jorge took the picture, so there is a mom in this little family. This is a little family that was struggling to find a place to live because they didn't have the means, and so the chapel had a place to live and needed someone to be on site to guard the place because of the break-ins, and so it was a really good win-win situation. And the chapel, because of your generosity, the chapel was able to put about $1,000 into renovating the house that they now live in. And so, again, just another way that the chapel shows love to people, not just here, but around the world. And so, yeah. Well, before we begin the next in our Family Matters series, this one looking at parents and children, let's just pray here. And I'm going to pray for Camp Oshpakung too. Joel asked us to pray for camp, particularly with some of the things they're going through, so I'm going to pray for them too. So let's pray. Father, would you help us as we look into your word again this morning? Would you help us as we read and as we learn to really hear your voice coming through this section that we're going to look at this morning? And Father, as camp does a lot of work with children, and as the chapel supports the work there, we just pray that you would protect the chapel, protect camp from attack and slander, and Lord, that you would really help them to show love to all people when they come to ABK. So would you give them wisdom as they meet this weekend for their meeting? Would you help them as they craft policies in order to navigate the turbulent times we're living in? We pray this in Jesus' name. Amen. Well, have you ever wondered what goes on in the mind of parents and children when they're having an argument?
So, how was the first day of school?
It was fine, I guess. I don't know.
Do you ever look at someone and wonder what is going on inside their head?
Did you guys pick up on that?
Sure did.
Something's wrong.
We're going to find out what's happening, but we'll need support. Signal the husband.
With a nice pass off the ring, comes across that line.
Uh-oh, she's looking at us. What did she say?
What? Oh, sorry, sir. No one was listening.
Is it garbage night? We left the toilet seat up. What? What is it, woman? What?
Signal him again.
Ah, so, Riley, how was school?
Riley!
You gotta be kidding me!
For this, we gave up that Brazilian helicopter pilot?
School was great, all right?
What was that? I thought you said we were gonna act casual.
Riley, is everything okay?
Sir, she just rolled her eyes at us.
All right, make a show of force. I don't want to have to put the foot down.
No, not the foot.
Riley, I do not like this new attitude.
Oh, I'll show you attitude, old
no,
man.
No, breathe.
What is your problem? Just leave me alone.
Sir, reporting high levels of sass.
Take it to DEFCON 2.
DEFCON 2!
I don't know where this disrespectful attitude came from.
You want a piece of this, Pops?
Yeah, well,
prepare the foot.
Keys to safety position. Ready to launch on your command, sir.
Just shut up!
Fire! That's it. Go to your room.
The foot is down. The foot is down. Yeah!
Good job, gentlemen. That could have been a disaster.
Well, that was a disaster.
Have you been there, parents? There is no shortage of advice when it comes to parenting. I looked it up this week, all kinds of different books on parenting, and so I've collected some of the ones for you. Just so you know, there are all kinds of child-rearing philosophies out there, so you can get books on positive parenting, simplicity parenting, grace-based parenting, free-range parenting, playful parenting, attachment parenting, unconditional parenting, brain-based parenting, strength-based parenting, gospel-powered parenting, mindful parenting, sacred parenting, minimalist parenting, common sense parenting, smart parenting, confident parenting, parenting isn't for wimps that talks about how hard it is, or on the other end of the spectrum, parenting is easy, you're probably just doing it wrong. There are over 65,000 books available on Amazon on parenting, often giving very different advice to parents. I discovered this whole hodgepodge of advice when Jaden was born, because one of the things they give you in the hospital, I don't know if they still do, but at that time, they gave you the welcome to parenting package that had all sorts of things, the sample pack of Pampers, and then you get a free parenting magazine in there too. So I was looking through the parenting magazine, and you come across all sorts of advice in the parenting magazine, and when you compare it to other parenting magazines, sometimes you find that the advice is completely contradictory. And so you have on this parenting magazine, I remember the one I was reading, it said this, that parents should not force their children to eat their vegetables, because forcing a child to do something they don't want to do would harm their self-worth or their self-concept or self-esteem. Rather, you should let little children express their independence and choose what they want to eat. But then I read a different parenting magazine that tells me that no, parents know best what a healthy meal would be, and so they should lovingly insist that their children eat their vegetables, and if they don't, there's a consequence, like no dessert. So you come at this whole topic, and there is all sorts of information coming at parents, and frankly, it can be very confusing. So this morning, we're going to look at what Scripture has to say about parenting, and specifically instructions to parents and instructions to children. And I have to I'm just going to start right off the bat and say this. I'm going to be talking about biblical principles and guidelines. I'm not so much going to be talking about specific strategies. I'm not going to be pumping one particular philosophy more than another. Now, that's going to relieve some of you, and that's going to disappoint some of you, and I recognize I'm in a no-win situation here, so that's okay. I will say this, as I teach this morning, I'll use some examples, so it will probably become pretty clear the philosophy that Jen and I have used, but that's what we've chosen. That may not be what you choose. And so that's different than telling you do this or don't do that, and that's not what I'm going to be doing as much this morning. And this isn't a cop-out. It's important for a couple of reasons. First of all, children are different. How a parent parents a child with ADD, attention deficit disorder, or a child with autism, or a strong-willed child, or a compliant child, can be completely different, even within the same family. And so sometimes well-meaning people come out with cookie-cutter approaches and just say, you just need to do this. And that's not at all the way I want to come across this morning. And so I want to just be right up front with that before we start. I remember Jaden and Madeline, by the way, they have both given me permission to use this example. So generally not always, but almost always when I use my kids as a sermon illustration, I've asked for their permission first, just so concerned parents can understand that. So I remember Jaden and Madeline were very different in the way we parented them, partially because they were very different people. Jaden, you would say, don't touch that. And even from a young age, he would look you in the eye and touch it anyways, just to defy you and see what you were going to do. Madeline, all we had to do was give her the hairy eyeball, and that was enough to bring her into compliance. And so they're very different, and sometimes you have different strategies with that. And so we need to understand that as we go. Plus, as parents know, there's more to parenting than just discipline, right? There's so much more to parenting than that. And so I think what these principles will do this morning, hopefully, is address, if we look at it at a more general level, maybe be somewhat helpful in the long run, I hope, as we go. I should also, in the sake of full disclosure, admit right off the bat that I was a problem child. Now, I didn't know this until recently. I didn't, because I grew up thinking I was the golden boy in Sunday school. But I have been told on good authority, Auntie Mo was the one who shared this with me, that when I was really young, I was horrid. Now, those are not her words. Those are mine. Her word, I believe, was out of control. That when my parents would go over for dinner at their place, they would look out the window and go, oh, no, they brought Brian again. And she said that it was okay. It wasn't their fault. They didn't really know any better at the time. But she said, then they got saved and started spanking me, and I turned out okay. So that's her short summary of my life. And yes, Auntie Mo gave me permission to share that with you too. So that's the short summary of my life. But I just want to let you know that right at the front that I was not a perfect parent. And you probably aren't surprised that my kids aren't perfect either. Jen and I joke about the fact that it's the windle in them that causes them to be less than perfect often. The reality is that any parent who has parented and raised children has been through the sleepless nights of infancy, the terrible twos, as they're known, have navigated school issues and friendship issues, have struggled to get kids to eat their vegetables or clean their rooms or practice their pianos, have been there when they have skinned knees and hurt hearts. And so parenting is tough work. I have an adult now. Crazy, where does the time go? And another one this summer turning into an adult. And so when I look back at all of what's happened, I can kind of see now with maybe a little more perspective than I did when I was in the middle of it. And I am really thankful to God for input from Scripture, because it has been so helpful to us. And I'm glad that God is faithful, because I have failed often as a parent. And I think almost any parent would probably admit that in their honest moments, that we often fail. Yet God is faithful. And so if we follow these principles, I think that children and adults will be well off. I'm really glad that God's given us some wisdom. So let's take a look at that. Turn with me to Ephesians 6 this morning. Ephesians 6 is where we're going to go. It's not the only passage on parenting, but it's four good verses that we're going to look at this morning. It says this: Children, obey your parents in the Lord, for this is right. Honor your father and mother, which is the first commandment with a promise, that it may go well with you and that you may enjoy long life on earth. Fathers, do not exasperate your children. Instead, bring them up in the training and instruction of the Lord. So children, first instructions to you. Now, many of the children have gone downstairs, but we still have some teenagers in the audience today. And so the first part I'm going to direct towards you. So if you are a teenager, here you go. You are to obey your parents. That word that's used there means listen attentively and conform to a command. In my household, it usually went like this. My dad would say, "Are you listening to me?" And I'd say, "I heard you." And he'd go, "Yeah, I know you heard me, but are you listening to me?" See, for him, listening equated with obedience. And that's kind of the picture that we have behind this word that's used here. We are called to obey. Children are called to obey their parents. This is one of the Ten Commandments. It's one of the things that Jesus told us to do. Now, as soon as I say that to most teenagers, what they think or tell me when their parents aren't around, because I work with teens a lot, is this: "Are you kidding me? My parents drive me crazy." And I know. I get that. It's hard when you're at the age where you know it all. It just really is. It's like Mark Twain said, "When I was 14 years old, my old man was so ignorant I could hardly stand being around him. When I turned 21, I was astonished at how much he'd learned in 7 years." That's kind of what it's like. And so, young people, just so you know, when you're little old, just trust me, because I've been there in those moments where I did not want at all to hear I had to obey. But a little farther down the line, I start to appreciate maybe why my parents were asking me to do the things that they were asking me to do. The context of this passage we looked at last week, and that is verse 21, "Submit to one another out of reverence for Christ." And so Paul gives a number of situations where one group is called to submit to a group in authority. Children, God has placed your parents in authority over you, and you're called to obey them. Not if you want to. Not if you really are happy with your parents at that particular moment in time. It's just, children, obey your parents. So I am going to give you right now just a gift, teenagers. Here's the gift. This little phrase: "I should be happy to." Because you can always say that phrase honestly. You can say, "I should be happy to," and do it. Or you can say, "I should be happy to, but I'm not, but I should be happy to." Right? So you can say that phrase honestly, whatever you do. But children are called to obey their parents. That's what we are called to do. Unless your parents are asking you to do like something illegal or sinful, in which case you have a higher authority, and that is not you. You are not the higher authority. God is the higher authority. So if your parents are asking you to do something sinful or wrong, yes, you appeal to a higher authority. If not, you're called to obey your parents. It's pretty simple teaching, not always easy to put in practice, though. The second thing that we're told, children are told, is honor your parents. So teenagers who are here, I want you to think of the thing you prize the most. What is the thing you prize the most? I read a thread on Facebook or on YouTube this week where this question was asked of teenagers, and teenagers responded. And just reading through the thread, the two most common answers seemed to be a piece of jewelry that had special meaning to them, a necklace mom or grandma gave them or something like that, or their technological device. So phone, iPod, tablet, whatever it was. Those two seemed to be the thing that they prized the most. So here's the thing. That word honor literally means to prize or to value. And so, teenagers, you're called to prize and value your parents. That's the teaching to you this morning. And we're told that there's a promise here. This is a command with a promise that it may go well with you, that you may enjoy long life on the earth. Of course, there are other verses in Scripture that talk about what happens if you don't, like this one. Proverbs 30:17, "The eye that mocks the father, that scorns obedience to a mother, will be pecked out by ravens in the valley and eaten by vultures." Amen. I give that to you, teenagers. There we go. Now, here's the thing. That was not one I ever saw illustrated in the Precious Moments Bible, so I'll admit that right off the bat. But the second thing is this. What Scripture is saying is that there are two things held out. Children are called to honor and obey their parents. And when they do, good things happen, and when they don't, bad things happen. That's what this passage is teaching. So teenagers, there's your instructions this morning. Obey and honor your parents. Let me give you a couple practical suggestions. Number one, if you really want to freak your parents out, next time they ask you to do something, do it right away. And smile. That will just blow their mind. That might just be enough right there. Don't roll your eyes, huff, puff, stomp away, slam doors. Try to do it and try to show a little maturity as you do that. So there's your teaching this morning, children. You are called to honor and obey. Parents, you're called to three things, I believe, from this one verse. Fathers, do not exasperate your children. Instead, bring them up in the training and the instruction of the Lord. Now, I think in this verse, there are three things that we're called to disciple continually, to discipline consistently, and to do this compassionately. So let's take a look at this. Bring them up in the instruction of the Lord, we're told. That word really is talking about teaching them about Jesus. Albert Barnes said this, the word here means literally putting in mind. So put into their minds the teachings about God, his existence, his perfections, his laws, his claims on their hearts and lives. It's like Tim. Heard a story about a guy named Tim, and he had a really rough upbringing. In fact, most of his upbringing, he was raised by his mom. His grandma helped out. And he was from a really rough upbringing because he was very much an outcast in society. In fact, at that time, they probably would have used the derogatory term half-breed. That's what he was. He was looked down upon. But his mom and his grandma poured into his life and taught him about Jesus, taught him about what the Bible said. And Tim went on to do great things for God. In fact, he wrote 6 books in the New Testament. Because he co-wrote 6 books with the Apostle Paul, Timothy of Lystra, is who I'm talking about. Listen to what Scripture says about Timothy's mom and grandma. Paul said, I am reminded of your sincere faith, which first lived in your grandmother Lois and in your mother Eunice, and I am persuaded now lives in you also. Second, Timothy goes on to say, but as for you, continue in what you have learned and have become convinced of, because you know those from whom you learned it, and how from infancy you have known the Holy Scriptures, which are able to make you wise through faith, wise for salvation through faith in Jesus Christ. I sometimes run into parents who say, I'm just going to let my child figure out what they believe. So the self-discovery route. I'm not going to impress anything upon them. I'm going to let them decide this for themselves. Parents, that is foreign to what Scripture teaches parents are to do. Listen to these words from Deuteronomy. Commandments that God gave his children in Israel, which is kind of the same point that Paul is making here in the New Testament, is this. These commands I give you to you today are to be upon your hearts. Impress them upon your children. King James says, teach them diligently. Talk about them when you sit at home, when you walk around along the road, when you lie down, when you get up. That's what we are called to do. We need to see this as our primary mission field, parents. Our primary mission field is our home. It's our kids. I remember when Jaden was born. He wasn't even an hour old, and they gave me, I felt a little awkward, they let me take him in this bassinet, this glass thing bassinet on a little trolley, and they said, take him down to the nursery. It's second door down. So I remember pushing him down and looking at this child who just been born, and the thought just like a laser went through my mind, this boy needs Jesus. Not even an hour old, this boy needs Jesus. Parents, that's our primary responsibility with our kids, is to disciple them continually. Let me give you a couple of practical suggestions. Number one, parents, model it for your children. Model discipleship for your children. 2011, a report was released in Canada called Hemorrhaging Faith, Why Canadian Young Adults Are Leaving, Staying, and Returning to Church. So it looked at this phenomenon that a lot of youth leaders have wrestled with for years now, is we see kids who've grown up in the church, grown up through youth group, when they go off to university for evangelical kids, or when they go off to high school for mainline churches, because there's a difference there, the study found. Many of them wander away from the faith. They leave the church. They become completely disconnected with the things that they were raised with. Why? Why is this? The report analyzed all of the data, and they came up with 4 faith factors, 4 things that the kids who stayed connected to their faith had in common. And the number one thing was parents. Listen to what the report said. Our study confirms that emerging adults raised by parents who attend church regularly, pray regularly, and read their Bibles regularly are far more likely to attend church faithfully as adults than their peers with parents who do not engage in these spiritual practices on a regular basis. Parents, we need to model this for our kids. So it's not just tell and do what I say, because we know this. Kids are always watching us. And so we have to live that authentically for them and model that for them. The second thing is to make discipleship a priority in our family. And dads, I'm going to talk to you. Fathers, I'm going to talk to you, because I believe that God has given the dads the primary responsibility or headship in the home. And so, dads, it is your responsibility to man up and make this a priority in your family. And let's not kid ourselves. It's usually about priorities, isn't it? Because I know parents who can get their kids in the deer stand by 6 a.m. religiously. I know parents who can make it to practice on time, consistently, faithfully, for whatever sporting event that they want to do. And when I say that, I look in the mirror because I see myself first and foremost. So if I'm going to make those things a priority, how much more so do I need to make discipleship opportunities a priority? Doesn't mean I do it all on my own. My wife and I are a team. We're partners in raising our kids. So we speak to them. We disciple them. We talk about the things of the Lord with them. Not just when we're trying to discipline them, but little things, conversations over the dinner table. Great opportunities to point your kids to the Lord. So we're called to disciple them continually. We're also called to discipline them consistently. That's what's meant by this phrase, bring them up in the training. The word training, Strong's Concordance defines it as this: education or training, by implication, disciplinary correction, chastisement, chastising, or nurture. So we're not just to teach them about Jesus, we're to teach them about wisdom. And when they stray from wisdom, as parents, we are called to bring them back to that through some sort of disciplinary means. Proverbs 13:24 says, "He who spares the rod hates his son, but whoever loves him is careful to discipline." Now, I know some of you were like, "I hope he's going to preach that verse. Spare the rod. I hope he's going to say that." And then others of you were probably sitting there, "Please don't, not that verse, Brian. Not that verse. We have visitors. It's a long weekend. Please, not that verse." So I get that, but here's the thing. We are called to discipline consistently. I have seen lots of books on parenting. I've not read a ton of books on parenting. I've read some, but I've never seen a book called Parenting Like God. I think it would be a great book sometimes. Any authors in the audience, I give that to you free. You just, you know, I don't even need a royalty on it. You just go ahead and run with it if you want. Parenting Like God, because here's the thing. Scripture often talks about this metaphor of God as Father, us as children, and how God parents us, for want of a better phrase. Listen to this. Hebrews 12, "Have you forgotten the word of encouragement that addresses you as sons? My sons, do not make light of the Lord's discipline. Do not lose heart when he rebukes, because the Lord disciplines those he loves and punishes everyone he accepts as a son." And so this metaphor in Proverbs 13 of sparing the rod, what that verse does not mean is go out and get a rod and beat your children to within an inch of their lives when they do something wrong. That's not what that means. So, do I need to say that again? That is not what that verse means. But nor does it mean we never do anything that would even come close to that. Both extremes lead to problems. Note in this verse, discipline is evidence of love. Some people think it's unloving to make a child feel bad. You don't need to read parent magazines very long and parenting books to discover that that is absolutely a prevailing thought in our culture among some groups. That we ought not make our children feel bad in any way, because that will hurt their self-concept. That is not what this verse is teaching. In fact, parenting in a way that has firm, loving discipline will not hurt your child's self-esteem at all. What will? What will is this: domineering authoritarian outbursts devoid of any consistent loving action. That will lead to harm and self-concept. So whatever your parenting strategy, and you parents should have more than one strategy in your toolbox, do it consistently. Do it with love. I'll say that again. Whatever strategy you have chosen, do it consistently and do it with love. I have seen timeouts work very effectively. I've seen them ineffective, almost a joke, when the kids are sent to the room to play. That's a punishment. I have seen groundings work very effectively. I have seen groundings be threatened and all sorts of nonsense threatened around groundings that aren't even in the realm of realistic. I'm going to ground you till you're 18. Great, parents, that's good. How are you going to consistently follow up on that? I have heard scoldings be firm yet loving. I have seen scoldings be almost abusive. I have experienced spanking in a loving way. I have heard about it being used in an abusive way. So whatever your particular strategy is, do it consistently, do it in love. Somebody's like, oh no, he used the spanking word. What are we going to do now? Those of you who knew me when I was really young, it's not surprising to know that I was spanked as a child. I was. Hear me, I was never abused as a child, ever. In fact, I don't remember a spanking that did not conclude with a hug. And usually in the midst of that, there was a sermon somewhere as well that went along with it. And so here's what I want you to know. Whatever your parenting strategy is, it must be done in love, and it must be done consistently. That's what we are called to as parents. And finally, we're to do it compassionately. We are called to do this compassionately. Fathers, do not exasperate your children. Instructions given to father as the head of the home, and frankly, because fathers, sometimes we are guilty of this more than anyone. What does exasperating our children mean? It means don't enrage them. It doesn't mean don't punish them so they don't get mad at you. I don't know any child who likes discipline. I never liked discipline as a child. That's the whole point. It's to be a deterrent. But what it means is don't infuriate your children with unreasonable demands, needless severity, or by your own uncontrolled anger. There is a difference between authoritarian and authoritative. Sociologist Reuben Hill did a study of thousands of parents and teens in Minnesota. He summarized the difference this way between authoritarian and authoritative parents. He said the authoritarian parent doesn't express love and affection well, but is high on discipline. They raise children who are provoked to rebellion. The bar is always high and the musts are always abundant, so there's a strong sense of safety. But this kind of parent isn't content just to win the war, they have to win every battle too. He then contrasts that with the authoritative parent, who provides the best combination of love and discipline. This kind of parent is authoritative, not an overbearing authoritarian, but compassionate and firm, but a compassionate yet firm authority. They have a clear boundaries, but are also loving. Everyone who knows the boss knows who the boss is, but there's a connection between parents and child, a consideration that respects and honors who the child is while not compromising his or her disciplinary needs. The result is a child high in self-esteem and equipped with good coping skills. This is what parents are called to. Discipling continually, disciplining consistently, but doing it compassionately. That's what parents are called. Those are the general principles. And whatever strategies you use within that, those ought to be your guiding principles. Proverbs 22:6 says, train up a child in the way he should go, and when he is old, he will not depart from it. A couple of things about Proverbs. Proverbs are general truths, not universal guarantees. I know parents who love their children, who have trained them up in the training and instruction of the Lord, and have watched with heartache as their children have wandered from that. So it's not a universal guarantee, it's a general truth. But notice what it says. Train up a child in the way he should go. When he is old, he will not depart from it. There might be a lot of trouble and rebellion before we get to that part. That was certainly the case with my son, Jaden. Oh, 12 to 14, rebellious. The anger. Chen and I, praying and talking, what do we do? How do we teach this child? Not just 12 to 14, my goodness, started at 1.5 probably. He did tell me I could share this. In fact, I texted him this week. I said this: I'm preaching on parenting this Sunday. Honest and vulnerable question. Now that you're an adult, what do you feel we did well as parents? What scarred you for life? It's a tongue-in-cheek phrase we use in our family. He responded this way: I think you guys did awesome as parents. I tried to think of something that may have scarred me as a child, but I can't really think of anything. Most of the things we've disagreed on over the years, I've come to appreciate the wisdom in. And I'm sure in another 5 years or so, it will be even more so. I'm really glad you taught me how to follow Jesus and didn't just make it a Sunday morning thing. I'm glad you spanked me. I'm glad you guys didn't let me watch movies or play games that were rated above my age. I'm glad you guys always encouraged me to do things with excellence, even when I found it easy and boring. Teaching me how to manage my money was huge. Having you guys as examples has been awesome. A humbling thing to read after the grief we suffered as parents. But when they are older, they look back. And I think maybe that's what I want to encourage with parents with this morning, is persevere. Persevere, because sometimes it's not going to be until they're adults that they look back and have some appreciation for what you've been trying to do. So take away, just as we finish, children, your parents love you and aren't trying to make your life difficult. Respect and obey them, and one day you will appreciate better why they're raising you the way they are. And parents, there are no perfect parents. Forgive yourselves when you fail. Parenting is tough work. Commit to discipling continually, disciplining consistently, and doing it compassionately. Seek godly counsel when needed. A few helpful resources there for you. Focus on the Family. Familylife.com is Dennis and Barbara Rainey's site. Homeward.com, if you have teenagers, this is a good one. Jim Burns and Doug Fields are both youth experts. And finally, PluggedIn.com for media reviews. If you're interested, it just gives you a heads up of what your child or you are going to be looking at: movies, video games, books, TV shows, that kind of thing. Very helpful. I think the way I'd like to end is this. I'd like to pray for the parents in the room, and I'd like to pray for the children. Because children are being raised in a world that is radically different than the world that I was raised in. And parenting becomes increasingly more difficult within that world. So let's just end and we'll pray. Father, I lift to you the children that are in our midst, those upstairs and those downstairs. As parents, Father, we just want to see our children follow hard after you. We want to see them become good, upstanding people. Father, we want the best for our kids, and so we pray that you would help us. Father, for all the parents in the room, I pray that you would help us as we disciple them, as we discipline them, to always do this in love. Father, ultimately, we want to see our kids come to faith in Christ and grow in faith in Christ and see this heritage passed from generation to generation. We pray this in Jesus' name.